Well, let me ask you this, though. Are you angry? Yeah, are you angry? Well, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been left out?
Yep.
Right? We know what that's like. I can remember being growing up and being in elementary school, and you had recess back then, and if the weather was good, we got to go outside, and the teachers back then would just let us go, right? All right, you got, whatever, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, and just let you go. And so we'd come up with all kinds of games and just playing. And sometimes we'd play kickball, or we'd play basketball to the court, or football, or things. And it was nothing really organized. You'd get two captains, right? And the two captains would do what? They would pick their teams. And you would stand there, and you'd be like, you know, smiling, because, you know, you wanted to get picked. And sometimes your name was called. But then for some, there were other times when it wasn't, and you were left out. Now, as we get older, though, you might be at like a social gathering, and you walk in, and everyone seems to know each other. And so there's conversations happening, and there's laughter happening, but you're not a part of those, right? Those people kind of belong, and maybe you at least feel like you don't. Can be more subtle. You walk into a room and nobody notices your arrival, right? No one makes space for you. No one pulls up a chair for you. It's no fun being left out, is it? It's why I love the table scenes here in Luke's gospel, when Jesus gathers around a table and he breaks bread, because hopefully you've noticed so far that many times those who are present are the ones who are normally excluded, right? It's the tax collectors and the sinners, you know, it's the sick and the overlooked, but not just them, because also at the tables many times are the most respected and the most important. Those who are many times at odds with Jesus, some who are even see him as a threat. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus is invited to eat at the home of a Pharisee. Happens to be the Sabbath. And so you have this room that's filled with religious leaders and important people. I want you to see how this all plays out. From the 1979 film, the Jesus film, to see the scripture kind of come to life. Take a look.
One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So, taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full.'"
So our lay reader today was like, "Phew, I'm glad I didn't have to read all that." Interesting, though. So Jesus has been invited to have a meal at the home of a Pharisee. It happens to be a Sabbath. And it says in verse 1 in chapter 14 that they watched him closely. So why were they watching him closely? Think about it. Now, if you recall, the Pharisees, they're a Jewish religious sect during Jesus' time. And before that, they were the keepers of the law. They were the interpreters of the law. They protected the law. They made sure that they followed the law and they were obedient to the law. So they had all these other little laws around it that would help them do that because they believed God would be pleased and that the number first priority was to keep the law. All right? So why were they watching Jesus closely? Because they wanted to see whether or not he would break the law, break the rules. In other words, you break their religious rules, their religious laws. And so at the meal, we're told that a man suffering from an abnormal swelling of the body was there. Now, would he normally be invited by the Pharisees to have a meal with them, do you think? I mean, Pharisees are all about being clean, because Pharisee actually means to be separated from. And so they separated themselves from the sinners. So do you think they would have someone that with an ailment, with an illness, to be there at the dinner with them? Most likely not, because that would make them unclean. And back then, people believed that if you had some kind of ailment, if you had some kind of illness, it was because you had sinned in some way. And so the Pharisees wouldn't normally invite someone like this man to have dinner with them, unless he either crashed the party, which could have been it, or they were trying to test Jesus. They were setting him up in a maybe. And so I think that's why they were watching him closely, to see what he would do. Would he break the rules or not? Would he keep the Sabbath, which said that you were not supposed to heal on the Sabbath day? You know, would he be obedient to the law? Would he keep the rules? And so everyone's kind of waiting. All right, what's Jesus going to do? Well, Jesus does what he normally does, and he sort of turns the tables on them because he begins by asking them a question. Does the law allow healing on the Sabbath or not? And Luke tells us in verse 4 that they said nothing. They said nothing. No one answers. I mean, they know what the rule is. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath, but they also see the suffering of this man. And so no one answers because they want to see what Jesus is going to do. Well, Jesus doesn't tell the man to come back tomorrow. "Hey, come back tomorrow because I can heal you on Monday. I can't, or Sunday back then. I can't heal you on the Sabbath, but just come back tomorrow. He could have done that, but no, what does he do? Instead, no, he heals the man. Because for Jesus, people come before the rules. Not so with the Pharisees, because rules are rules in the eyes of the Pharisees. And yet, I think you know as well as I do that there are times when rules need to be bent or they need to be broken, right? You know, I think back to, you know, in our history to Nazi Germany. And they were German citizens who hid their Jewish neighbors there in their homes. And the Nazis would come to their home and say, "Are you hiding any Jews?" And they would say, "No, we're not hiding any Jews." And yet, the commandment is to do what? Do not lie. Do not bear false witness. Right? And yet, what were they doing? Well, they were breaking that commandment, were they not? But in doing so, were they doing the right thing? Well, sure they were. They were doing the thing. They were doing the thing that actually pleased God rather than keeping that rule. See, it was about the people. Here in Luke's account, we have what I'm calling kingdom values. And the first value that Jesus reminds us of is that people come before the rules. People come before the rules. Now, this meal continues. And as this meal continues, Jesus has noticed something else about this meal. And in Luke, it tells us that Jesus noticed how the guests sought out the best seats at the table. Because in that culture, it mattered where you sat. It said something as to where you sat. And back then, the best seat wouldn't have necessarily been the one right beside the guest of honor. We kind of think that, but in reality, not so, because back then, you didn't really get a good picture of that there in the clip, but back then, the table many times was this U-shaped table called a triclinium, and people would, they would lounge beside it. They didn't sit in chairs. They would, you know, they sit beside it there, and so the best seat typically was the one straight across from the guest of honor, because they could see them directly, they could hear them easily, and so the best seat many times was the one directly across from the seat of honor. So Jesus has been watching this and seeing how they've competed to get into that, to have that best seat. And so he tells them a parable, doesn't he? He says, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, take the lowest place. On the surface, it sounds like just social etiquette, right? But Jesus, you know, is teaching here, and he's taking them deeper, because he goes on to say, all who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. And so it's more than just social etiquette here. Right? He's pointing us to really, what we have still present today. And that is, you know, the world says climb higher. It says promote yourself. It says, you know, get noticed, get the most views or the most clicks on your social media posts, all those kind of things, because that's what, you know, when that is happening, that means you're important, isn't it? And yet Jesus says, no, it's not really like that in God's kingdom. Because in God's kingdom, we're called to choose humility and to serve others and to let others be lifted up. Because in God's kingdom, the values are people come before rules and others come before self. Others come before self. One of my fraternity brothers works in the event planning business. And which means he's paid to make sure that the most important people of the organization or at that event get the best seats in the house. So that's what he does. Right. If it's a fundraiser, it's the most important, you know, it's the people who give the most money who get the best seats or the best tables in the room. You know, opposite of what Jesus is talking about here. But it's interesting, Rich, my attorney brother, he said, you know, from time to time, there always seems to be at least one person who's not really happy with their table, with their seat that they've been given. He said, I remember on one particular occasion, one gentleman, he came up and he said, hey, he really thought he ought to be sitting closer to the front at a different table at his organization's banquet there. So he came and he said, hey, I think I should be sitting front. And unfortunately, all the seats at the table are filled. I'm sorry. Well, he didn't really like that either. So what he did, he took a chair. He just took his chair and he just moved it up to the table where he thought he should be sitting. And he just sort of squeezed in there, and that is where.
Yeah, he sat for the rest of the evening.
Some people are like that. Right? Now he contrasted that. He said, you know, but then there was another, we had another event. It was a big major American company. We were doing a banquet there, and he said, all the executive level folks, you know, COO, CFO, CEOs, all those folks. He said, they told us that wherever they're sitting, to make sure that their seat was always the one that had their back to the stage. And so when they would sit at their table, they would be sitting like this, and their back would be to the stage where everything was happening. And he said, we want it to be like that because we want our employees, we want those that we are, you know, we are celebrating on this day, we want them to have the best seats at the table, which is true, right? Because if your back is to the stage, what do you got to do to see what's going on? You got to turn around, squeeze, or turn your table and put your back to the table, whatever. It's not the best seat at the table. But these folks said, no, we want the best seats for our employees, those that we are celebrating. We will take the seats with our backs to the stage. Another friend of mine worked in the hotel industry, and he told me once about how they were hosting a company's conference, a multi-day conference. And so they had set aside all the suites there in the hotel for who? The execs, right? You know, the executive folks. You know, and he said the CEO of the company came and was checking in, and he said when she checked in, she had been assigned our best suite. She was the CEO, and so she'd been assigned the best suite, but unfortunately, it was not ready. And he said, I thought for sure we were just going to get some grief. You know, that she would not be happy, that she would be upset because her room wasn't ready and all those kind of things. He said, but she surprised us. He said, oh, you know, that's okay, that's fine, there's no problem. Just give me a regular room. And then she said this. And how about you just give my suite to just one of other surprise one of our other employees, not an exec, but just one of our regular folks with the executive suite. And he said, you know, I've never forgotten that. I've always remembered that. Here was a CEO of a major company giving up their suite and really giving it to just, you know, a regular employee. I mean, all who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. It's a kingdom value, isn't it? People come before rules, others come before self. But see, Jesus isn't done, is he? He tells them another parable. A certain someone hosted a large dinner and invited very many people. When it was time for the dinner to begin, he sent his servant to tell the invited guests, come, the dinner is now ready. And one by one, they all began to make excuses. Now, it's important for us to understand that in this parable, like in many parables that deal with feasts and banquets and all those kinds of things, the certain someone, the host, is God. Okay? Over and over in the scriptures, you see that. That the dinner, it's a metaphor for heaven or for the kingdom of God, and the host is God himself. So in this parable, a banquet has been prepared, people have been invited, but everyone says they can't come. They're too busy, they got other things to do. The first one told him, I bought a farm and must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I bought 5 teams of oxen. I'm going to check on them, so please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. I mean, they're legit excuses, aren't they? They're not bad excuses. They're not wrong. They just have different priorities, don't they? And so the someone invites everyone and anyone to the feast. Right? Now, the tragedy of the story is that those who had excuses, they missed the feast, didn't they? They missed it not because they were rejected, not because they were left out. They missed it simply because they were distracted, they were too busy, they had other priorities. You know, they thought other things mattered more. It's not really different from today. We got lots of excellent excuses, don't we? We don't have time for this, we don't have time for that, we don't have time to pray, to maybe to read scripture, to be in worship. A colleague of mine, we were talking not too long ago, we were talking about our online worship, and so, you know, we have good online worship, I think. But we were talking about, like, during COVID, you remember that a few years ago? I mean, during COVID, we had, like, huge numbers of people joining us online, if you didn't know that. Well, of course we did. Why? Because you couldn't come in person, at least most places. You couldn't come and worship in person, so the only option you had was to worship online. And so we had a lot of people who worshiped with us online. Nowadays, not nearly as many. But of course, you know, COVID was driving that. But as we were talking, he said, yeah, I agree. That was obviously a big driver. But he said, you know what? I think we had a lot of people because worship was actually the only option. I mean, what were people going to do on a Sunday morning? You couldn't go out and play golf, at least initially. You couldn't watch your favorite sports team on TV. You couldn't go to, there weren't any, you know, kids' ball games or competitions or anything like that. And he said, you know what? People didn't have anything to do. There wasn't any competition. And so the only thing, you know, really choice you had was to worship online. And I thought, you know, I hadn't thought about that. You know, people join us online. Why? Because they really didn't have any other excuse. And so we had huge numbers. And I think there's some truth to that. I mean, we get busy with all kinds of important things, good things in life. But in doing so, sometimes we miss out on what matters most, right? That's not only true with God, that's also true in life as well. I mean, many of us, you know, we're driven, we live busy lives, we got good things to do, and so many times we also have good excuses. But in the doing, we miss out on what's most important. We're too busy to maybe to notice the people around us. Too busy to serve, too busy to worship, too busy maybe for our family, even our friends. Too busy to accept God's invitation to join him at the table. Which is maybe the most important invitation that we ever get. I mean, Jesus reminds us to keep first things first, that we've been invited to God's feast. The question is, will we come or not? Or will we allow, you know, other priorities, other distractions, other commitments, and again, good things, but keep us from the first thing. It's because of kingdom values. To me, are people come before rules, others come before self, and to remember first things first. First things first. Which brings me back to kind of the very beginning. I mean, we know what it feels like to be left out, right? To be unnoticed, to not be invited. But see, the good news of the gospel is this, that in God's kingdom, no one has to stand on the outside. No one has to wonder whether or not they belong, or even if they've been invited. Because the king says, all right, he pulls up another chair, says, come and join me at the table. Because everyone is invited to his table. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we do. We give you thanks for inviting us to your table. And so forgive us for all the times where we have valued rules over people and status over humility and busyness over your invitation. Teach us, remind us of the values of your kingdom, O Lord. So help us to live with compassion and humility and faithfulness. And that we not only join you at your table, Lord, but then we begin to welcome those around us to the table as well. For it is in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.